claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Baffangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, if we're lucky, we won't have too many feedback issues, but I'll do my best to mute myself should they occur. We're delighted today to have Lee Merritt, who's been an outstanding champion of truth about the COVID pandemic and the dangers related to the hoax. I have an opening question before I turn over to Giuseppe, Michael Ivey, and Scorpio, which is the following, Lee. It seems to me that control not only of the media, not only of the WHO, the CDC, NIH, and all, bespeaks of a massive power capable of even controlling the AMA and physicians and hospitals across the nation. It seems to me the most likely candidate to behind all of this is, surprise, surprise, the Rothschild banking industry, where even Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, turns out himself to be a Rothschild. I wonder whether you have speculated about this and would be grateful for your thoughts.
Well, thanks. That's a great question. Yeah, I have thought a lot about that. And you know what? I am getting a little feedback. Is it sounding okay to you?
Yes, I'm not hearing it. How about you?
Okay, as long as you're not hearing it, I don't care. You know, in 2011, a guy named Gladfelter in Switzerland put all the corporations of the world, there are like 37 million corporations, and he put them into a supercomputer along with his colleagues. And it spit out that there were 147, I think, companies that owned all those. And then Forbes looked at those 147 companies and said, you know, when you look at those, they're actually owned by 10 banks. And then somebody else on Wall Street analyzed that and published that if you look at those 10 banks and you understand how funds work, they're actually controlled by four funds. And those four funds are controlled by roughly 150 men. Apparently women need not apply. So somewhere in those unnamed, the most dangerous people in this are the people we don't know their names. And so I would suspect the Rothschilds are at the top of that 150. Yeah, I think so. But there are others. You know, I think they might all be related, but there's a few more people probably involved. And then if you want to know how this whole thing came down, this is my opinion, but I think I can back it up with a bunch of facts. People, the 150 say, or whoever's behind this at that level, they funneled money down through the various observable foundations like the Gates and Rockefeller Foundation, and they funneled it into the NIH and specifically to the NIAID portion where Dr. Fauci's been reigning for 40 years plus. I actually, when I was an intern in 1980, he was a nobody, and he was there giving us a lecture at Bethesda Naval Hospital, four people there, and I fell asleep right in front of him, so I probably didn't make any brownie points. I still think I'm in a nightmare, and I'm hoping to wake up, actually. But they picked this guy who's, you know, kind of, I think he was actually kind of groomed for this position, by the way. I don't think he's there accidentally. Like, I don't think Justin Trudeau is there accidentally, or Macron, or a number of world leaders. That's just me. I think there's evidence to show that these people have been raised for these positions and put in these positions. So I think that's true with Fauci. But anyway, whoever he is, the ultimate story here is he's the bag man. He's not that an important figure, except that he was someone that could funnel $800 billion without people paying attention over the years. He had $800 billion, and he took $120 billion of that, and he sent it to not just the Wuhan lab. And by the way, these news people that say, we didn't know that Fauci did all this. How could we have known this? Well, yeah, I knew it in February. It was really easy. You just went to the NIH website, funding to Wuhan lab. Anyway, he funded $3.5 million to the Wuhan lab on two occasions. And he also funded Ralph Barrick in North Carolina that we know about. He funded a PLA virologist to go and study Marburg at our bioweapons lab in USAMRIID, which is absolutely insane. He funded, and through that funded, I think, the Canadian Dr. Plummer that was at the heart of this. He's now dead. There's a bunch of deaths around this. If I were Ralph Barrick, I wouldn't buy any long playing records. But there's a lot of these labs that have been funded around the world. So now what the big psyop is, well, and let me back up. And then what the other part of that money went to hospital research, okay? So the big university complexes, like I'm right near University of Nebraska at Omaha, which is now the big remdesivir trial site. If I wondered why I was the only doctor in a million city population to go protest the mask mandate, it's because everybody else on the other side, the whole room was filled with UNMC guys that were telling how we had to have this mask mandate, you know, for safety and for the hospital so it didn't get overthrown. It was just unbelievable. Now I know why. Because what the NIH through Dr. Fauci did, they put all this money into these research grants. These hospitals overbuilt. So now there are these research places, they overbuilt, and now they are at risk of going down if they don't have a strong, secure funding from the NIH. Well, all you do is have your staff start talking about ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine and you lose the funding. So Fauci is essentially the bag man. He's not a real important figure. He's the guy that takes the mob boss's money and he funnels it out to all the capos, the guys that do the nasty jobs, and makes sure if they don't do the job the way the mob boss wants, he goes out and breaks their legs. Well, in Fauci's thing, it's not breaking your legs, it's withdrawing your next year's funding, which means your whole system collapses. That's really the story. And the current PSYOP, I'll tell you, if you listen very carefully, I've learned to recognize these now. The current PSYOP is Fauci bad, Wuhan leak. Fauci bad, Wuhan leak. They always associate those two things. So what they're telling you is they're throwing Fauci under the bus. They're telling you, oh, we didn't know that he'd done all these bad things. What a bad guy. But case closed, we figured it out. Crime solved, don't look any higher. So your question was so pertinent because nobody wants to look higher than Fauci. They want you to stop the crime there. And then they also want you to associate it with those terms, lab leak in Wuhan. So the disinformation campaign is saying he's the only bad guy, don't look any further. And it was all because bad policies at this level 4 lab in Wuhan, that they're not very good and they let this stuff leak out. I knew that was a PSYOP very early on. When I saw just right after this came out, they showed a picture of Wuhan lab with gloves laying out these outside the building. And they're trying to convince you that this highly secure bio lab, level 4 bio lab, that they're so bad, they don't even know how to take care of their gloves properly. And I saw that and I said, that is idiotic. That is clearly trying to implicate them as an accidental leak site. I'm looking further.
That's simply marvelously perfect explanation of what's going on. I want to mention I have several of your videos on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, for those who may want to see more of your work. With deference to Giuseppe, because Scorpio is back with us, and I'm so delighted, I want to turn the next round of questions to him. Scorpio, your ball.
Well, Jim, thank you. I really appreciate that. Dr. Merrick, I've followed your work for some time. I'm quite interested in your I've heard you sort of, speculate that possibly this so-called COVID is not being spread the way we're being told.
Right.
And perhaps you could expound upon that and give us some, you know, I know it's speculation, but some ideas of what you think this actually is and how it is being spread. I'm just astounded at the level of lies.
I mean, this is a very, very deep rabbit hole. And I'll just tell you, I would not have believed this. If you told me 10 years ago, I'd be sitting here saying, there may not be viruses. I'd say, oh no, you're just crazy. You're just an orthopedic surgeon. You don't know anything about this. You know, why listen to me? But I'm going to tell you, they've been lying. This didn't start 5 or 10 years ago. This whole takedown started a long time ago. In fact, it demanded that hospitals round up the doctors. Independent doctors would not have acted this way to kill people using drugs that they could see was killing people if they hadn't been herded into hospitals. And that happened with Obamacare. So that's been decades. So this whole thing goes way back, and there's been a misinformation about biology. But my point was this. When I first saw this, and by the way, I got an early kind of heads up to watch this in December. So I'd been watching this before most people knew what was going on in China. And I started graphing the death rate early on, and I was very concerned. I actually was okay with staying home for a little while. You know, I really thought we just ought to stop the national border traffic. I didn't really think we ought to shut down the world. But I thought it was prudent to stop public traffic and public transportation like air flights until we knew what this was. Well, it turns out these psychopaths knew what it was 20 years ago, but we didn't. So what happened was, as the daily death count went on, I noticed, you know, I followed Wuhan and Lombardy, Italy. That's when I got concerned that it wasn't just a race-specific bioweapon. It was probably something more. And then I New York. And it first started going up in America. The curve of death was hyperbolic. I mean, it looked like really bad stuff. And if that had continued by July of 2020, we would have had 2 million dead in America. But, you know, that didn't happen. Right? That isn't what happened. What happened is you followed the curve just a little farther, and it just went, it slumped into a normal little death curve that we see every winter. So what's happening? Well, what's happening is it isn't, in my opinion, that wouldn't have happened that way if it was what we were told. What we were told is this, the narrative is this terrible disease spontaneously came out of bats into humans. After living with us for eons in bliss, it suddenly decided to come into humans, and it did it because of the wet market in Wuhan, all that dirty trash. That's why it came out there. And then it spread across the world widely because it's highly airborne. I mean, you heard all these epidemiologists say, oh, it's so transmissible. It's so transmissible. We've never seen an R-naught value like this, meaning, you know, that it's like worse than chickenpox, worse than all the things we think of as a highly transmissible disease. If that had been true, we would have seen it rip through Paris, through Omaha, Nebraska, through Cleveland, Ohio. It wouldn't have stopped at three cities, but it did. It stopped at three cities. That's fact number one. And the death count suddenly stopped. It stopped killing people. That's fact number two. It really wasn't all that deadly after the first couple months, okay? So when you put all that together and you know the basic science, my point to people, and this, not everybody can do this, but if you have a science background and you really want to know what's going on, don't just listen, for God's sake, don't listen to the news. But don't just read the medical literature. You have to go back and read the basic science literature and even the veterinary literature, because it turns out that these guys have created tactile weapons, and they've created immunogenic contraceptives. They know how to decrease, and there's this big study that was done in Australia with mice, and they showed how they could, they have the mathematics worked out, they get this number of mice, they give them this kind of a self-disseminating vaccine, that it sterilizes the mice by going into their ovaries, and then those mice go out and they shed on other mice, shed, S-H-E-D, they shed on other mice, they become sterile, they shed on other mice, they become sterile, and then it kind of fizzles out, so it doesn't kill them all. Well, this would explain a self-disseminating contact pathogen, would explain the curve, would explain what we saw, and would explain the problems we're seeing today with the vaccine, if you conclude, as I have, that the bioweapon was both the instigator of the start of this panic psyop, and it was the endpoint of the vaccine, maybe in a little different packaging, but it's packaged to, the first one was packaged to do a tactile weapon where you maybe smeared it on keyboards in computer stores, which we have at one, we actually have a weird kind of video from one of those computer stores where somebody's going in and just touching all the keyboards in Wuhan and then shutting the computer, going to the next one, touching and shutting, not looking at the computers. What's that all about? That's the kind of thing you could do if you wanted to spread this stuff on a surface. So I think the other thing people need to know about these contact pathogens is what I'm trying to think of the doctors or no, Colonel Zhao and Wang. They were two colonels in the PLA, and they wrote a book in 1999 called Unrestricted Warfare. And when you read the book, one of my favorite quotes, and I should have it right on the tip of my tongue, but it's about waking up one day and finding, let me just find, it's worth me looking it up real quick, because it's, oh, here it is. Some morning, people will awaken to discover with surprise that quite a few kind and gentle things have begun to have offensive and lethal characteristics. They are talking about bioweaponization of everyday household items. Okay. This was also studied in South Africa during Project Coast. And we have some of that data came out during the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Desmond Tutu, but a lot of it's been blocked down behind the you know, so you can't get at it. But what they talked about was Project Larry. Larry Ford was a doctor in Los Angeles who used to go back and forth to South Africa. By every outward appearance, he was just your family man, OBGYN doctor in LA. But he would go over and assist the self-defense bioweapons program. They were trying to decrease the black population in South Africa through bioweapons. And he would show them how to make everyday household items poisonous. So he would take over pathogens from America. So there's a lot of research and stuff has been going on behind the scenes that could produce exactly what we're seeing. And so that's my belief. Contact pathogen gets the fear going. Then we change the definition of cases, have a false PCR test that gets all this explosive fear going with a classic trauma-based mind control for the masses here by locking us down and monopolizing the perception and adding anxiety by confusing us about whether you should wear 1 or 10 masks. And then you come out, you're just willing to do anything to get normal again, and you jump to take the vaccine. That's the whole program.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's simply wonderful. Scorpio, do you have a follow-up question, Scorpio?
Well, yes, I guess my follow-up question would be, I'm just also astounded at the ability for the mainstream media to lie to us at every turn. And for example, they're saying that the in the Northwest, in Idaho, where the vaccination rates are very low, the hospitals are just overwhelmed. There's no space left in the hospitals. I have a friend that lives in Coeur d'Alene, and I asked him about this. He said, the hospitals are empty. There's nobody there.
Right, but they're telling you it's over. Yeah.
How are they getting these people to go along with the great lie?
Well, that's a good point. And I'm going to tell you, it has to do with the fact that the people giving them that data are the hospital bigwigs who are lying. Because, again, they're the paid group from Fauci and the NIH. So for your local news channels, they're getting information because these guys are now being sent out like all the infectious disease people always work for hospitals. I mean, this is how they weaponized medicine against us. Let me just back up and say, if they had, I have a little metaphor I tell people. Let's say King Harald of Norway, and I pick him because I really don't think he's involved. He decides to take over America, but he knows that his army, well-trained as they are, cannot storm the beaches and take us on. So what does he do? He gets a little-known bureaucrat in his government, funnels a ton of money to him, has him go into America and a Ford Motor Company and start giving them money for research. And then one day they say, if you want to keep the money, we want you to start making short-range tactical nuclear weapons and stop making so many cars. Well, then the car dealers start to complain that there aren't enough cars to sell. No problem. They start funding them to do busy work so that they keep busy. And then one day they're all happy. Ford's all happy. I don't think they're involved either. It's time to deploy the weapons, and they start sending these short-range nuclear tactical weapons out to all the Ford dealers in order to deploy against Americas. Now, why wouldn't that happen? It wouldn't happen because somebody would squeak. And when they were squeaking, they would speak words we understood to somebody that would get to the DIA or the military in some way. And they'd recognize that these were acts of war against us being perpetrated, that this was an inside takedown. They recognized missiles as acts of war. They didn't recognize viral treatments as acts of war. It's exactly the same principle. So that's how they got all these little hospitals and even some of the local news to speak out. But keep in mind that when you're talking the mainstream media, would you believe Tokyo Rose about the sea state around Japan in 1943? Of course not, because she was a paid disinformation agent for the Japanese war effort. All the mainstream media are intelligence paid for the war effort against us. Unfortunately, our parts of our government are part of the bad guys here. As you know, I mean, if you're talking about the Rothschilds, you have to understand that whole banking cartel is here and everywhere. So governments have taken part in this, at least the deep, what we call the deep state. They own the intelligence services and the what's best for intelligence services is mainstream media. So just forget those. It's guys like you that are saving us. It's the independent media that's saving us. It's Telegram. It's all the people that go on all these shows, all these different shows. That's where the truth gets out.
That's just sensational. Giuseppe, pick it up from here.
First, I'd like to salute your heroic honesty, Dr. Lee Merritt, and I'm a huge fan of your work. And I've watched, I don't know, going on probably 100 of your interviews the last year.
Oh, my gosh. He must be totally bored by now.
No, just the opposite. Yeah, it's amazing to see someone with your storied history of service in both the military, as a Navy surgeon, and as a doctor, a true doctor. And I'd like to get your thoughts on this scenario. So what we have now is, in my opinion, a euphemism. They say gain of function, like this research, but to me that's bioweapon research, right?
Absolutely.
Why do you need to go into caves in China and find a bat and grab its stool and try to create in a laboratory a zoonotic jump so it becomes a weapon, right? That's insane.
Right.
And you combine that with, in my opinion, and here's the question, the transhuman agenda that these globalist usury overlords have had in their mind for decades. And the idea being that in 1996, the corrupt FDA approved glyphosate. And as you well know, that glyphosate should never be ingested. It destroys the gut biome. It, you know, and it's finally even mainstream medicine is recognizing now that most diseases originate in the gut if you have a bad gut biome. And why would you ingest industrial pipe cleaner, which is where glyphosate started, sewer cleaner that was migrated by some very dark individuals? So in 1996, oh, we understand genetics. We got this science nailed. We will create a new way to harvest better crops. We can build it better. And, you know, it'll never spread. There'll never be a genetic drift. And the arrogance is so offensive. Within 18 months, you've got 26 weeds surrounding the Roundup soy that were already had absorbed the DNA and were Roundup resistant. So that is the arrogance that we're looking at right now. What are your thoughts on this transhuman agenda and this drive you so eloquently said earlier, that this fear porn to drive people to take this injection? This is not a vaccine. This is a genetic experiment that is unprecedented in its scope and its malevolence, in my opinion. So your thoughts on the transhuman agenda behind all this experiment?
Well, I don't, at least in my mind, I don't think there's much question that this is a sterilizing agent. People, it's, you know, I can't prove that to you because we don't know exactly what's in it. But when you look at the effect of what's happening on the women that are around vaccinated people that are unvaccinated, it just seems to be that they're all having bleeding, menstrual problems, irregularities, the kinds of things that suggest to us damage to your reproductive health, than Christiane Northrup. I mean, I'm an orthopedic surgeon, what do I know? But Christiane Northrup is a very famous OBGYN doctor that has specialized in reproductive health for decades and writes a lot of books and is on talk shows and stuff. And she says that. She says, look, this is looking bad. And I agree with that. I think that it's, you know, the chemistry industry, I've got this circle right in front of my face. Can I click this? If I click this, will I disappear or something? You know that. Let me just try this. I'm hope there it goes away. Okay. You know, the chemistry industry, our pharmaceutical companies, I think are the descendants of IG Farben. IG Farben was the biggest chemical conglomerate before World War II, and got into this mess because they funded Hitler. I mean, they ended up funding him because what did they say? They wanted a seat at the table. They weren't necessarily all in favor of him, but they wanted a seat at the table. How many businesses today do we hear that from? And it as it ended up, they created a lot of things that we're being damaged by today. So for example, Otto Ambrose was the chief chemist and he was at Auschwitz doing the Buna plant. They, you know, they put fluoride in the water for the prisoners in those death camps because kept them docile, decreased their IQ. They didn't think so much, right? What are we doing? You know, after World War II, what did we do? We put fluoride in our water, you know, and I actually have kind of an inside track to that because my dad's research was used to justify that. My father was the dental researcher that decided fluoride decreased cavities in certain areas of the country, but it was organic fluoride. It wasn't, it wasn't this toxic stuff. Then you have Otto Ambrose brought to us when he got out of, he'd been convicted of mass murder, by the way, and did 8 years after World War II in prison. But when he got out, he went to Britain and he took with him a drug that had been used to sedate prisoners. It was called thalidomide. And what happened is he gave it to the British pharmaceutical companies, started working with them. Thalidomide created a huge, up until now, that's been considered the ultimate example of a pharmaceutical disaster because it gave them, you know, as the little kids with flipper hands, they had no forearms or arms. They're just, their hands were attached to their shoulders. And they had 100,000 bad outcomes, I think, something like that. 10,000 of the focomelia where you just lost all your bones, some of the bones in weird places. So a lot of this came out of that IG Farben background and the experiments done in Europe during World War II. And then, you know, unfortunately, big money, like you say, the big money's driving this and big money pushes it to, they buy the politicians. So the reason that we can have these viral, they're called viral-based genetic therapies. That's really what they are. They were developed as a, to be used for two things, genetic therapy and cancer therapy. They bragged about how they could target your organs with these things. In other words, they can drive them around. They know where they're going to go. They can control to some degree where these agents go in the body. So when the Japanese show that the agents are 64 times more likely to accumulate in the ovary than in your skeletal muscle, I kind of think that's not by accident, right? They told us they have the ability to target. So I don't think that's by accident. So these agents were made for those reasons, but they could never meet the safety bar, right? Because they're not indemnified. You know, if you put out a drug that's not a vaccine, there's no indemnity. You can be sued. And we've seen that happen. But suddenly they become vaccines. Now, there are what are called, I think let me just point out some of the evidence of this being a bioweapon. We absolutely know this was made in a lab. The very first inkling I got was the end of January, where I think his name was Prashant Pradhan, and he was the head geneticist of IBM. And he looked at the spike protein and he said, look, you can see where it's been cut and spliced. You can see where they put in the cleavage, the furin cleavage site, and you can see blah, 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 blah. And oh, we found the PN shuttle gene, which is one of the signatures of the Wuhan lab. And so that got my attention, but that didn't prove anything. What proved it was when he was forced to withdraw his paper in spite of complaints and saying the data is open source, look at it yourself, guys, we can prove this. No, forced to withdraw the paper, and then Zero Hedge, that was reporting on his paper, they were deplatformed just for mentioning him. Now that tells you, when they go after somebody like that, you've got to listen to, that's probably the truth. So there's that. And then the second thing is, we have some cardinal signs of what happens when diseases break out. Usually when a disease breaks out, before it really goes epidemic or pandemic, you can find evidence in bank blood of antibodies to the disease where it was trying to do something, but it wasn't quite adapted right to be really deadly yet. It really just kind of a really transmissible. It really just was playing around in the locale, but you can find evidence of that. And there's like other things. There's not one animal in the Wuhan meat market that tested positive for this. It's just on and on and on. So the chance of this not being a purposeful bioweapon, however, we can't prove how it was released, whether it was accident or purposeful, although I think the chance of it being an accident is just that's a nice rosy glass look at the world, but I don't think that could happen. What we do know is it was made in a lab. And when it's made in a lab, we're talking about synthetic biology. So what we got sick with was not really natural sickness, this COVID. The other problem here is if this had been a real disease, they wouldn't have acted at all the way they did. In a real disease, what would you do? If you had suddenly those people dying in China and in Lombardy, Italy, the WHO wouldn't say don't do autopsies. They would have said, quick, everybody you think's got this disease, okay, everybody you label as COVID, we want autopsies on them. Independent autopsies. We'll send those to a different hospital so there's no bias. Let's look and see what's really killing those people. And if we took, let's say, 100 people that they've been labeled as a COVID death, and we find out that 75% of them are influenza A, well, hold on now. Now we have something to work with. But we didn't do that. You know, pathologists know everything, but too late. I always say that to my friend Ryan Cole. You know, the pathologist could have sorted this out. Everybody, because there's no clear, perfect sign that sounds like COVID. Yes, we have kind of a constellation of symptoms. And when it happens, we think it's probably COVID, you know, dry cough, low oxygen saturation below what you would expect, huge fatigue, and loss of taste and smell. You get those four things, people kind of think, yeah, it could be. But influenza can do this. I'm just telling you. So we don't have data. Second thing is the false testing. The false testing, it's not like it's a little bit false, these PCRs. I read the package insert on that, and I can tell you, it says very clearly 20 to 30 times you cycle these tests. If you go over 30, you start getting false positives. If you go over 35, it becomes junk. And what were we cycling with in 2020? We were cycling 40 to 50 times, on average, 45 times around the world. So the other thing that makes me think this is not only that supports the idea this is a purposeful takedown with a bioweapon is to believe that was by accident, you'd have to believe, if you've seen some of my things, you'll probably get tired of me saying this analogy, but there's two worldviews. Either you have to believe that in 2020, all these highly trained lab managers that know how to set up a new test and train their staff and do tests correctly had some kind of group psychosis and all did it wrong. And they all did it wrong in the same direction, meaning they all overcycled the test. Not one of them accidentally undercycled the test. And on the magic day of January 21st, they got an epiphany and they cycled correctly. That group psychosis, I just don't buy. You know, I don't think that happened. Somebody told them to overcycle the test. And for that to have been told to them had to be at a transnational, international level, because it was all countries, it was all hospitals, it was all nations. So that's our issue. That's why I think it's a bioweapon, and it was set out to do this. Now we keep in mind these vaccines, they're not vaccines, and I even hate to use that term, but it's just too hard to constantly say unapproved experimental genetic therapies, you know. But they are, and it's got so many things in it we don't know. But one thing we know is it's got squalene in it. Now squalene was the chemical that was in one batch of the anthrax vaccine that caused the Gulf War syndrome. The Gulf War syndrome damaged a lot of our troops, and it killed people with one of the diseases was amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or Lou Gehrig's disease, or who was the famous physicist that was in a wheelchair all crippled up. I just can't think of his name right now.
Stephen Hawking,
that's what he had. He's the longest lived victim of that, so maybe he had a variant, but it was like two, usually you're dead in 2 years. What caused that was one batch of the anthrax vaccine where they used squalene as the adjuvant. Now, subsequently, these psychopaths running the pharmaceutical companies have put squalene in our Fluad and other vaccines, but they don't tell you. They label it as MF59. So it's hidden, but that's also in the Well, I love the Matrix M. Don't you love that name? That's the adjuvant for these vaccines, at least the Moderna and Pfizer, and I think it's the J&J too. But that's the lipo-nanoprotein or lipo-nanoparticle that coats the genetic material that goes around, and it has squalene in it. They love squalene because it non-specifically stimulates your immune system. So who would do that? Who would put, and so I have a friend who works in the VA, and ironically, he's one of the guys that got the first batch of squalene with the anthrax before he went over and served his country in Iraq. So he got that, and he keeps getting announcements that, hey, you know, you could get amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. You're at risk because you took that vaccine for the Gulf War. But don't worry. We have VA, you know, services for you for that problem. You get free VA services. Come see us if you have any neurologic issues. And then ironically, he's working in the OR in the VA hospital and was forced to take this vaccine. Well, was told he'd lose his job and all his potential pension, which he was working towards, if he didn't take this one. So he takes this one. Now he's gotten two doses of what the VA themselves have given him another dose of what they're warning him about. You just can't make this stuff up.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So I do think it's purposeful. I think that, you know, I was telling Simone Gold and my friends at AFLDS this today, we were texting, and I said, I have come to my new worldview that we are like, it's not planet Earth, it's planet ranch. And somewhere in the distance are the distant ranch owners, like these big people that buy up these huge acreages in Montana and South Dakota. And you don't really know nobody locally knows who they are. They're people at a distance whose names are unknown, but they buy up big properties. So they're ranch owners that own Earth. We don't know their names. And they have a lot of workers, the ranch hands, the cowboys, the, you know, the managers that, unlike real ranch, those guys all look like the cattle, which are us. But the difference is that the way you tell the cattle from the ranch hands in our planet Earth is the ranch hands don't follow the same rules the cattle do. In other words, we are making vaccines, but the federal government just exempted themselves. So they're part of management. You know, when the mandate came around, DC government exempted itself. Various state governments exempted themselves, the judges in the Supreme Court and what they they didn't get it. So all this stuff, they're all exempt from the rules that they treat the cattle with. And we're just happy kind of eating the grass, haven't been paying attention much, saw some distant fences, but didn't think much of it. And now we're looking up to realize they're just tagging our ear. That's really what's going on here. And that the ear tag is going to be that vaccine. It's, you know, if you really look at what's in there and the nanotechnology, and anybody thinks I'm a conspiracy theorist, fine, I'll take that money. But just don't look at Charles Lieber, because that's what I looked at Charles Lieber last year. And I said in February 2020, when they arrested that guy, I said, I'll watch and see if he goes down in a deep cell and they throw away the key. Maybe we're not involved. But that isn't what happened. Our FBI covered for him. He got a slap on the wrist. But he's a nanotechnologist. And he was going back and forth. He got $15 million from DARPA. And trust me, he was the chief of chemistry, biochemistry at Harvard. They don't give a chemist $15 million for a grant to make coffee taste better. That was because he was doing highly technical nanotechnology research for the military. Well, DARPA, the Chinese, main goal in the last decade was brain-electronic interface. And Charles Lieber gave them that. And that's through nanogel, these vaccines. Silver impregnated nanogel is also part of these vaccines. And I think there was a thing on Telegram, it was a Russian doctor, extract this kind of, what do you want to say, like almost like a matrix, but an array. It was like an array, electronic array out of somebody's arm that had been vaccinated. And they put a big vacuum on the arm right over where the vaccine site was. And they showed little dots came out in very regular gray fashion, like five across, just like a matrix. And then he put little slits of skin right over that and then sucked the stuff out. Well, that's to prove it's magnetic. I tested people in my office. 60% of the newly vaccinated were magnetic over the site. These self-organized, that's what Dr. Lieber invented. And anybody can read this stuff. It's self-organizing neural mesh. It goes around your person, can spy on your nervous system, probably do other things. And if you look at the, I just recently found this, there's Dr. Klinkel actually talked about this. And Dr. Klinkel was very conservative, that was just treating patients. And now he's talking about this as a mass genocide. Or what he said to me one day, he said, a programmed genocide. And I wanted to say, what's an unprogrammed genocide? I just wake up one morning and I'm going to just kill the world. But U.S., here's the number. People can look up U.S. patent 1110788. And that is for a plurality of electronic devices configured to be carried around said subject and then with instructions to generate ID. When it comes in proximity of another electronic device, it transmits the ID, blah, blah, blah. It's to make scores on how many people you come around that has one of these. So this is so we can all be interconnected. They know where you go, they track who you talk to, they know everything. Now, the talk, you also know this is true because the what is it called? The truth detectors, who are those people that come out and they say, you know, like PolitiFact.
Fact checkers, yeah.
They go out, they say, when they say false, then you just flip that around and you think, okay, buddy, I got to watch that. Because again, that's an intelligence program. That's not how real people argue with you. They just put out their data. It's very time consuming to look for falsehoods. But what they said was, well, it's clearly talking about a cell phone. No, it's not. It says will be carried around. I can carry it around in my arm. So I think that's where we're going to decrease the population, get rid of the useless mouth breathing, you know, eaters. And we're going to keep the most well people that survived this onslaught, and we're going to tag them, and then we're going to control them somehow. I think 5G plays a role in this. I don't think that's conspiracy theory either. If you know how wavelengths work, I mean, I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and how do they work? If I want to build bone in your leg, because you don't heal your fracture, I put a wave generator on there. It's set to a certain wavelength that I don't know. I mean, they didn't tell us that secret, but it doesn't work by immediately producing bone. It's not like it's like stirring your cooking pot. What it does is that wave interacts with your DNA. It resonates with your DNA in just the right way that your DNA opens up a segment. So it makes RNA that makes the enlaga of bone. That's how it works. So they can, with wavelength, can do things to your DNA. And that's what I think this is going to be about. That's the transhumanist part.
Giuseppe, do you have a few more questions? Lee is just sensational.
Oh, yeah. What a brilliant investigator and practitioner. But Michael Ivey, who has joined us, he's one of our fellow co-hosts on Need to Know. And you would not know this, Lee, but he does an awesome curated email list covering all this crimes against humanity. Nice. So, Michael, your question for Dr. Lee Merritt.
Wow, is all I've got to say. Dr. Merritt, I so appreciate your coming on here today. And is my audio okay? Everybody hearing me?
Very good, Michael.
And I'm not sure I need to ask any questions. Just listening to you talk is an education, and it's like a high-level lecture on our current situation. I think you and I have a common friend, and that would be Maureen McDonald.
Oh, yes.
She moderates the Five Doctors meetings periodically.
Yep.
She's just outside of Asheville here where I am as well.
Nice.
I guess one area that I wanted to go to, maybe I better switch to another one since our time's running down already. And I've heard you say before, and something you said earlier implied that you now have a degree of skepticism about the accepted scientific paradigm of infectious viruses.
And
just talk about that.
Well, Andrew Kaufman at a meeting. I mean, we talked on Zoom things before, but you know, Dr. Thomas Cowan wrote a book called Contagion, which is really excellent, and I highly recommend. You know, the point about virology. So I heard Dr. Kaufman say this before. I heard Dr. Cowan say that there are really no viruses, and even a few months ago, I said, "Oh, that's crazy talk. How could a whole segment of virologists be wrong?" But you know, it can happen. This is what happened, I think. And I'm, so I went up to Andy Goffman and I said, okay, I'm on your side. Now you got to explain to me things like smallpox and chickenpox. Well, then I read Cowan's book and he explains those things. And Larry Pilevsky of the Five Docs explained to me, I was having breakfast with him. And it's like all the little pieces of the puzzle. I said, okay, Larry, I get chickenpox, I get smallpox, I get how this fake stuff, how we were fake about this. How about the winter death season? If we don't have virus, what's killing people every winter? And he told me about that too, which if we have time, I can tell you. I think that's pretty cool. But here's what I think has happened. So if I send somebody to an ophthalmologist, I have no, you know, I don't know anything about the eye, you know, medically. So I trust that they have done their research and that they've been properly trained. I just keep doing my little job over in the corner. You know, that's how medicine has been subspecialized. And even within your specialty, I don't do total joints. So when I send somebody to a total joint doctor, I assume he's actually learned the science and understands what's going on. But it turns out that in virology, because I said, what are these graduate students studying? They don't have money involved. They'll blow the whistle. Why wouldn't they speak if this is all fraud? Well, it turns out in virology, there are certain basic fundamentals of logic and of how we isolate the virus that is wrong. So all this other stuff, you could be working in an area, once you accept the false premise, you could be working in an area where you think you've got the truth because you've been accepting this false premise. So you do all these things that look meaningful. The chemistry is right. The biology at your level is right, but you're missing the point of the step one is not right. And this is what Dr. Kaufman explained to me. And he has, and they have lots of evidence about this. And it turns out, again, like we're experiencing now, censorship, there have been many virologists, Stefan Lanka in Germany is one of them, over the years, he put a $250,000 reward on the table for proving measles, right? So there have been a lot of names around it, but they don't get published. The people that have been speaking against this viral theory of the world never got published, and they get silenced, so they don't get professorship. So unfortunately, that's what peer review, and you don't demand peer-reviewed papers. All that says is, I'm going to run my paper through the Politburo, and then they're going to decide what truth is, and then run it back for publication. That's really peer review. So that's what happened to us. So the viruses don't, it turns out, we can see bacteria in a microscope. Even in my bedroom, I could isolate a bacterium culture. All I have to do is see something, smear it on, take some stuff out of my nose. If I want to get a pure culture or something, I smear it on a Petri dish. I look at all the cultures that pop up. I take one of those. I smear it again. Then if I see that 31 cultures are all the same color and identical, I'm pretty sure that's it. I pick that one. Then I look at it under the microscope and I see what I see. If I see one type of bacterium, I'm pretty sure I got a pure culture that I can test it some more. It's pretty easy to do. But to do viruses, they're submicroscopic. You can't see them. So what do? Here's what they did in China to do it. And you can find the flaws in it when you just listen to it. They took what they call BELF, bronchoalveolar lavage fluid. They just put some fluid down in these sick people's lungs that they thought had this new disease. And they took it out and they put it into a tissue culture that had, you know, dead cow stuff, these kidney cells, these lung cells from a cancer patient that's been cycled for generations, and they let it grow. And then when it starts lysing the cells, when they start doing you can actually see the cells, see the lysis of the cells, I guess, then they start taking this stuff and they can see stuff on the electron microscope. But what they did was, they took genetic segments of it. They looked for only those fragments that are 150 base pairs long. It's kind of technical, and I'm sorry. But they do all this stuff, and it turns out it's all having to do with taking tiny little fragments of what they claim is a 30,000 base pair. Think of it as a snake. And it's only the nose of the head of the snake that makes you sick, but it's a 30,000 base pair virus. And they now take it out by 150 base pairs, and then they try to put it together with computer algorithms. And if they have holes, it kind of automatically fills in the most likely. And if they can't do it that with their big holes, they have to vote on it. I mean, this is kind of a level. But here's the kicker that really convinced me that these guys are right. If you do that whole process, but you don't start out with a lung fluid, you can create the same picture and the same findings.
Yeah, that's what Stefan Lanka did last
right.
January. And now he's doing a follow-up, I understand.
Yeah. I'm going to start following his stuff. I think he's key to this because he's been speaking about this for a long time, and he's an expert. I mean, you know, listen to him. I'm not in that field, but that's even to me. This is sketchy. It's what they and it is true that when you look at they claim and I know Richard Fleming and I disagree about this. He says, oh no, it's closed. They got the genetic sequence in it's on my website. Well, but where did the genetic sequence come from? It came from a computer model, okay? And the problem is, this is like, they talk about in silico viruses, okay? In silico means genetically on a computer model. Right. They don't, nine countries, as we just found out, do not have an isolate of the virus, including the CDC. Thank you, Patrick King, for pointing that out to Alberta. Well, that's what's going on.
Yeah, there. Another reward of substantial size out there right now for anybody who can prove that the SARS-CoV-2 exists.
Yeah, 1.5 million. I'm telling you, if I were a lab technician in some professor's lab and I knew he'd isolated it, don't you think you'd take advantage of that? There's a reason it's still sitting on the table. Yeah. So when you look at the science of virology, you've got people on the top that probably know that it's a lie. But what are they therefore to keep the narrative going, because this underpins the whole, there are no viruses, there's no vaccine industry. This underpins a huge profit thing for vaccine companies. So that's the people on the top that have been bought, and then all the people underneath, like, you know, the workers that don't have the whole picture. They're not trained to have the whole picture. They're just trained in their little area of virology.
So, since I gather we only have Lee for the first hour, let me go to Scorpio. Scorpio, I'd like for you to take the opportunity. Scorpio.
Thank you, Jim. And Dr. Merrick, this has just been really a great interview, and thank you so much for your time. And I think you're hitting on something very important, which is that, you know, science itself has been deeply corrupted. We can see that from the so-called climate scientists.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, and I think we're at a point where we really need to be willing to question anything that we are told in the narrative that comes forth from the mainstream media. And, you know, this idea of compartmentalization was, because that's really what you're talking about in terms of specialization.
Yeah.
All the knowledge is compartmentalized. And that's one of the key ways that intelligence agencies and the military keep secrets. It's everything's on a need to know basis and compartmentalized.
That's a very good point. And you know, here's, when you talk about climate change, here's one. Now, Willie Soon's a friend of mine who, you know, if you know who he is, he's the guy they love to hate about climate change because he's an astrophysicist and he actually understands science. He's at Harvard and he's an independent scientist. But he, I asked him one time, I hate to ask one of the world's experts on this, just a stupid thing, but I cannot find at historical levels of CO2 levels on Earth. And he gave it to me. And it was like this, we are at the lowest of CO2 levels pretty much ever. We're at 419 parts per million, you know. Now, you know, we know this from Colorado. This is the POT program in Colorado. What's optimal for plants? Well, it's 700 to 1500, or maybe even more, but at least you got to get it up to 750. That's what the pot growers do. They have, I don't know if that's their number, but you got to get it up above a certain. He showed me this little scale of plants. It shows plants grown at different carbon dioxide levels, and you're being starving the plants even at 419. They're not optimal, which is the pot growers, okay? So you've got to ask yourself, when you asked the original question about, so we've been lied to about lots of science, including that climate science is a big lie. We don't want to decrease the CO2. If anything, we want to increase it. We are decreasing our food production by keeping it so low. And you have to ask yourself, if we go lower, plants aren't going to grow, and much lower. And you talked about the Rothschilds, and so I'm just going to throw this out, and this makes sound totally crazy. What kind of enemy are we fighting that doesn't need CO2?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it's a little shocking when Kurzweil, is it the guy that did the D-Wave computer? He said, every day that goes by, less intelligence on Earth is human. So AI doesn't care about the carbon dioxide levels, but if they want to get rid of us, they can just squeeze us down and it will kill us. You have to have carbon dioxide. But you have Bill Gates out there saying, innovating to zero. Now, he's not an idiot. Who's he working for? You know, I just find that whole thing very, very creepy, to be honest.
Who or what?
Yeah, who or what is our enemy? I mean, I just think that's, and I'm sorry, Scorpio, you said something else I was going to comment on real quickly. I know you guys have to.
Let me interject.
Well, just the idea of compartmentalization and controlling the knowledge through compartmentalization.
Yeah, that is very interesting. I hadn't really thought about that like that, but that's exactly right. That is how intelligence services and the military do it.
Well, Dr. Lee, we've got a couple minutes left, and I know you wanted to mention strategies to keep yourself out of the hospital, which is essentially a death factory now. And what would you like people to think about keep themselves out of the hospital?
Well, I got to tell you, I think the first thing everybody needs to get, just like you prep with food, you need to prep with medical supplies. And right now, the FDA has told the U.S. Postal Service to interdict ivermectin at the borders. And they hate ivermectin, not just because it saves us from this, but because it's probably anti-cancer in a big way. So, you know, who knows? They don't like that. There's something more to these drugs that they really don't want us to have them. But you need to go get yourself ivermectin. Hydroxychloroquine is great too, but it's not completely the answer. So I would try and get some, you know, I never used to tell people to go get cattle stuff, but right now, get what you can. And I've got a conversion on my website, themedicalrebel.com. There's a little thing, how to convert for humans. So there's that. And the other thing is print off protocols. I think it would be a good idea. You know how people have groups of people in their town that all work together on prepping. You need to get a medical prep group. Find a nurse, find a PA, find a doctor. Retired doctors are real eager to help, I think. And get yourself a group thing. You know, Scott Kesterson that runs Bards FM and did Bards Fest, we were talking, and he's got a brilliant idea that there should be medical co-ops where you pitch in together and do things like get hyperbaric chambers, infrared saunas, IV supplies, get some nurses so that people, when they start getting sick, can come there and get help. They don't need to go to the doctor. The hospitals are lost. They're going to collapse after this, and we're going to have a new, and to be positive on the end, we're going to have better medicine when this all is out. We're going to have a better world and better medicine when we win this.
Yeah, and we're about to see a bunch of unemployed medical employees as well.
Right. So. We'll all start our own business. Well,
yeah.
Right.
Telemedicine will be just fine with starting smaller things.
Lee, your observations about reforming the medical system are well-founded, provided we survive this global genocide. There's never been anything like this in the history of the world. It boggles the mind. And most ordinary people, most American citizens, can't begin to grasp the dimensions, the sadism or the viciousness with which this is being pursued aggressively by the super rich in their effort to take control of the entirety of planet Earth.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lee.
Thank you.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, that was about as fabulous an hour as I've ever heard on radio anywhere in my entire life. I want to open the lines to callers. I know we're going to have a lot to discuss among ourselves, but we'll invite them to join us. The call-in number, 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. Giuseppe, why don't you take the lead with your comments and thoughts about what Lee had to say, which was just brilliant and spot on.
Well, do you remember, 20, 25 years ago when Saturday Night Live was still somewhat funny and they had Adam Sandler and those other guys who all went on to bigger things? They would had this one skit where they were around a table and somebody would say something, then they all go, salute, salute. Well, salute to Dr. Lee Merritt, because that, you know, talk about a mainstream storied career and having the courage and the acumen to understand something's not right here. This isn't science. There's something weird going on, and to not crawl into a shell and protect her career, protect her, and instead to take the heroic journey of truth. I mean, my God, what an amazing woman. And hopefully she has the, you know, she's Nebraska, salt of the earth, Midwest. Hopefully her awakening awakens other similar type mainstream allopathic operatives to build up a wave where this can be beaten back. Because there's already, as we all know, it's destroying all our families, many of our friendships. These people who are mind controlled by this globalist indoctrination of that this death jab is the only way you can survive, this transhuman, satanic intent. It's I cannot believe people are falling for it, and yet they're bending over left and right. I mean, where's the science when, and where's the clear thinking when, why would you ever wear a mask unless you're spray painting a car? And what they're doing to these poor little kids, man, I want to punch these parents in the mouth when I see their little 3 and 5 year olds enslaved in training to wear masks. It's like, what is wrong with you normies? And so I would just say, what a remarkable woman. And I will effort to bring her back.
Yeah, very good. Scorpio, I know you're going to have a lot to say.
Oh, were you calling on me, Jim?
Yes.
I was talking to you. Okay. That was an amazing hour. She's a brilliant, courageous woman. And it was funny because Jim asked the first question about the control of the medical system, which was going to be my first question. And by the time she finished answering, she had already answered about my first 3 or 4 questions. So she's just that good.
Scorpio.
Well, you know, I think the important takeaway from this interview, at least for me, was, okay, the concept of compartmentalization and specialization, that is how all of these great secrets are kept. You know, people that say poo-poo conspiracy theories say, oh, you can't keep secrets like that. It's not possible. Well, that's how they do it. Each person knows only what they need to know and no more. And, you know, secondly, this idea that we need to question everything we are told by this mainstream media on all fronts. And thirdly, you know, this repeating pattern of, let's say, for example, viruses. Well, you can't see the virus unless you have an electron microscope. Well, how many people have access to an electron microscope? Not that many. Yeah. Same thing with outer space. We're journeying to outer space, and you can't see, you know, what these planets look like unless you have access to the data from these journeying satellites that go far into outer space. Only we have that access. Same with climate change. We cannot know anything about so-called climate change because the data is all in the specialized equipment that only they have access to. So we're seeing a pattern here of, you know, if you don't have access to our special equipment, you can't understand this science.
Yeah, good.
Yes. Just so that's an excellent point about compartmentalization. That's one of the main methodologies that allows for something this big, like entire medical systems of the entire world, to be controlled. And the lubrication, in my mind, that flows through those compartments of the compartmentalization are money, being dependent on money for your livelihood, and authority. Money and authority makes every compartment below you obey what you say.
Yes, yes, yes. Giuseppe.
Money is, yeah, that's the magic grease, isn't it?
Yeah. Go ahead, Scorpio.
The world really works. And, you know, they keep saying, oh, it's conspiracy theory. No, what we're doing is we're unraveling the way the world actually operates and how power actually operates.
Yes. Giuseppe.
Well, what's fascinating to me, and great points by Michael and Scorpio, is what's fascinating to me is that the elites, well, I shouldn't call them the elites, the globalist parasites, that they seem desperate. They are doubling down and again. I mean, look at what's going on in Australia. There's a video where these traitorous police officers caved a brave Australian's head in, and they have to take that government down. They have to hang every one of those traitors, and same in Europe, and eventually same in America, because these are traitors, murderous traitors who are not serving the nation. And if you don't understand and become a committed populist, a committed nationalist, you are committing suicide.
Yes, yes. Michael?
Yeah, absolutely. And as things have progressed over the last 6 months or so, I think that we're seeing a lot of cracks in their narrative. Like every day I'm seeing more whistleblowers come out of the medical system and get interviewed on places like Del Bigtree's High Wire or the Stu Peters Show. There's somebody new and really excellent every day saying stuff like that. And the next thought that I have is when these cracks are beginning to develop in the narrative, I think, you know what? These people probably have their think tanks game all of this out, and they're waiting for a certain point to be reached before they hit us with the next shoe.
That's an excellent point.
Well, and I think the end game has to be some type of martial law declared worldwide. I think that is the only option they're going to have. And as they create unrest and essentially destroying the system from within on purpose, that's going to be the only option they have. And I think that is the end game. I'm seeing just all the time, I'm seeing more and more, you know, signs trying to, you know, normalize the idea that the military is involved in civilian life. And Operation Warp Speed is a perfect example of that. We had to have the military driving around and delivering these tiny little vials that are so vital for our survival now. And we're just, you know, we're seeing military people at food banks, even driving school buses. They're inserting the military into every aspect of civilian life. And we're going to see that process continue just to sort of normalize it and get people used to the idea.
Yeah, I think that's all right. Giuseppe.
Oh, Michael, go ahead. You were going to say something.
I was just going to say another area that I was going to bring up was I'd say over the last 2 or 3 months, it's becoming a fairly strong evidential case for their manufacturing the continuation of the perception of a pandemic by actually going out and spraying some sort of aerosol bioweapon in places. Specifically, I've heard Mike Adams and Sherry Tenpenny talking about that. And Dr. Merritt also said that she was at an event called Bard's Fest. Sherry Tenpenny talks about having gone to Bard's Fest and there having been some sort of bioweapon used there. And the day that she got back from that event, I think, what was that in California? I don't know. But the day that she got back from that event, she got calls from 25 other presenters and vendors at that event who had come down with exactly the same disease.
Yeah, that's very, very telling. Scorpio.
Well, yeah, and I think we really need to question, how is this so-called pathogen being spread? I'm increasingly just not believing the idea that, you know, it's from people breathing. I just don't think that's how they're doing it. And, you know, this is really interesting. You know, if you listen to the local news on the radio, like here in San Diego, they said that 4 people died the other day of COVID. And this is, you know, San Diego County has like maybe 5 million people in the county. So it's literally less than a 1 in a million, literally, chance of dying of COVID. Yet, you know, you've got these idiots running around in masks and putting masks on their children. And of course, as Giuseppe pointed out, the effect on the children, this is the most important thing, is they want the children used to wearing masks and being slaves.
Well, they're doing brain damage. They're doing brain damage to the children. They won't develop normally neurologically if they're wearing masks. I mean, we're going to have a handicapped generation. There are already estimates that we're going to have a dumbed down population by about 10 IQ points or even more. And of course, the miscarriages, the infertility, I mean, they're achieving a lot of their effects, sad to say, already around us. Giuseppe.
Absolutely, Jim. And the other factor in this, too, is we're going to have a whole generation of children that are not going to develop normal connections to their fellow human beings.
Yeah.
They're growing up in fear and afraid of themselves, afraid of others. and really being told that you were a dirty bag of virus-infested flesh, and that's about all you are. And so you're going to have a whole generation of children that are slave-trained and afraid to interact with their fellow human beings. And that's another very important factor in this, is they want to re-engineer the way human beings interact with one another.
Well, let me just say how delighted I am to have you back in the saddle, Scorpio. You contribute so much. I find you invaluable as a commentator. I'm just ecstatic about this. Giuseppe.
Michael, dad's playing favorites.
Scorpio, but don't you have a photo of yourself with sunglasses on? I mean, I didn't even recognize you.
Well, you know, part of the reason I always wore the sunglasses is I knew I had to fly back, and I was just a little concerned about, you know, let's put it this way. I had been so harassed the last time that I flew. I just didn't want to put my image out there any more than I had to. So I'm going to get my studio set up here soon. I just haven't been able to do it just yet. But I made it home, and I wasn't harassed this time. Thank God.
Sweet.
Sensational.
Michael, Giuseppe, we've gotten a couple of inquiries how people can get on your curated email list. Yeah.
Well, let's see. Why don't you forward their email to me, and then I'll communicate with them about it. I like to have some sort of personal contact with people rather than just adding people.
So if anybody wants to email me, the letter R, the word Tide, the word media, short for Rising Tide Media, rtidemedia@gmail.com. And then I will forward that to Michael. And it's well worth getting vetted by Mr. Ivy and getting on that list. He is just doing yeoman's work, culling the nutty shit and getting the real nuggets and exposing a lot of courageous whistleblowers, such as, how about that mortician in England who came out and admitted that all the deaths he's seeing are from the death jab, and that he was ostracized, and now he lost his job. I mean, the level of commitment by these Satanists to push the goyim cattle to this great reset, this new world order, this global government is just shocking. And we need millions more of Dr. Lee Merritt waking up and joining the fight. And they are. I mean, I think that, you know, that whole group with Simone Gold, I mean, I think that, I don't know, it's crazy. I cannot believe we're still in this scamdemic. It's just so ridiculous. I didn't get a chance to ask her, but do you guys have any thoughts on every day? You know, I monitor the paper I used to write for, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And when I wrote for them, it was Milwaukee Sentinel. I monitor all the local media here, the hyper local, and they're all running daily the same propaganda. And the most egregious one was the lie last week that, oh, this fellow was unvaccinated in Alabama, and he tried to go to 43 different hospitals, and they wouldn't take him because he was unvaccinated, and so he died. And so, do you see why you should get your vaccination? I mean, that was a lie. It was disproven. It's a total lie. And every day you've got these lies like, oh, I was anti-vax, but now I'm in the hospital. I wish I would have taken the injection. I mean, every day it's nothing but bullshit.
Yeah. And what we're seeing are these little morality plays.
Right. Right.
Using actors, you know, like you were saying, oh God, you know, here I'm in the hospital. I'm almost dead. And it's all because I didn't take the vaccine. Everybody out there listening to this, please take the vaccine. And we're seeing this, you know, over and over and over again. And, you know, what's interesting too, is there's another meme sort of emerging from the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media, which is that doctors and are very frustrated that we're still having to deal with COVID because of these people who just won't take the vaccine. And they're really pushing this idea out to the public, like, we're frustrated. And even Joe Biden said that their patience is running out. And, you know, Giuseppe, lastly, you mentioned this mortician that lost his job from speaking out. And this is just another indication that the control of the levers of power within our system are in far fewer hands than we've ever been told. The idea that we have all these independent companies competing with each other in a free, an open market, that's all bullshit. These corporations have overlapping ownership, just like Dr. Merritt talked about at the very beginning of the interview. So it's just important to realize we've been lied to about that too.
Yes, yes, yes.
Scorpio, you've been monitoring enemy transmissions again?
Yes, absolutely. And everyone should know that Michael's email list is on a need-to-know basis.
Let me add that I've just published a stunning vaccine death report on my blog. I've sent it to all of you. You'll find it in your email, explaining all the techniques that are being used, how they're suppressing the numbers, how this is the super rich seeking to take control of the world, how the graphene oxide, they're trying to even control our thoughts in the future. It's absolutely stunning stuff. And I've enabled the whole report, it's 39 pages, to be downloaded directly from my blog at jamesfetzer.org. And I believe you can download it from the emails I've sent out. The links should work, but this is one you don't want to miss. It's like the UK funeral director's report. It's just stunning. In my opinion, this is the single most important analysis and summary of what's taking place across the planet we have yet.
Jim, what article is it? Is it the one called, Is the Biden Administration Trying to Murder Its Opponents? Or
No. It's entitled The Vaccine Death Report, Giuseppe. Nice. I put it in your Skype before the show. Let me just add, Lee Merritt seemed to me to be so spot on, so direct, discussing the political aspects of this. I thought she was simply sensational. If we've had a better guest to address these issues, then Lee, I don't know who that would be.
She also had some terrific things to say regarding, she started out talking about the experiments that had been done on the magnetism that's being expressed after vaccination. And she had some great things to say that I don't remember the specifics, but I want to go back and actually transcribe what she said about the self-organizing mechanism within the body and it being capable of receiving transmissions. And she connected 5G with that as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
She covered a lot of ground.
Spot on. She was just sensational. Giuseppe, I take it she had a conflict, so she couldn't stay for the second hour.
Yeah, she is so busy. And another thing you guys may not know, but she's got a nurse named Jan, who's a real hero in her own right, who handles all, because she runs her practice still. But Dr. Lee was at an event, and she got dosed with something, and she had been really sick the last month or so. I mean, really had a hard time getting rid of it. And so
it might have been that Bard's Fest.
Yeah,
event,
it might have been, right.
He was there.
Yeah.
Giuseppe, do a refresh on my blog and you'll get the image of the article I just put up that I'm recommending is so incredibly important. Yes.
Oh, there it is. Yep. Okay. I'll put the link, Jim. I'll click on it and put it in all the chats right now.
This is just unbelievably good. A very, very powerful.
Outstanding.
David John Sorensen and Dr. Vladimir Vasilenko.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Let me just read one paragraph about the worldwide fraud. All over the world, hospitals and medical staff are paid handsomely to fraudulently register all patients as COVID. The hundreds of millions of flu cases every year all over the world are now all considered COVID. Doctors are pressured from above to register every patient as COVID, and they get hidden messages requiring them to register dying patients as COVID deaths. Funeral directors admit they see false COVID registrations all the time, and CNN technical director Chester admitted they inflated COVID numbers. A network of 20 hospitals is caught inflating the COVID numbers to create fear. and an African official is seen in a Zoom call discussing how to ramp up COVID. A nurse testifies how large numbers of patients are murdered to increase COVID deaths, and innumerable people worldwide are outraged because they were incorrectly registered as COVID. The Italian politician Vittorio is infuriated because he sees how the chamber is lying. Only a small percentage died of COVID. These are but a few examples of a blatant campaign of international deception to create the excuse for the current genocide with the toxic injections. Wow. The whole report is stunning.
Unbelievable. And, you know, I'm amazed, too, that they're already talking about needing new, you know, not only boosters, but a new shot in 2022. I forget the name of the woman that was talking about this, but this is the same woman, Australian, that is openly talking about the New World Order. I mean, they are really moving things forward at a stunningly fast speed right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they're very worried that in the coming flu season, which we're about to enter, so many of those who took the jab are going to die, that the unvaxxed stand as a control group by contrast, and the whole fraud will be exposed thereby, which is why they're going with such a massive campaign to get everyone vaxxed. Just as in the past, when they were doing their studies, they took their control groups and made sure they got vaxxed too, so there wouldn't be a control group. Those of us who are unvaxxed are the controls, and they're seeking to eliminate any possible exposure of what they're doing. That's why it's all so frantic.
Scorpio mentioned the speed with which they're trying to put this program on us, and there's a nice little quote from Mike Adams right here. Because of the speed with which people are waking up, the desperation is causing the globalists to accelerate their program. They know that now they have to go for broke, because if this all unravels and it blows up in their face, they're going to prison, or worse, I might add, for crimes against humanity. That's where this ends. So now we're in a race against time where they are racing to mass murder billions of people, and we, humanity, we're racing to expose the criminals before they kill us all. Can you think of a more epic, more biblical face-off in the history of human civilization? Because that's what this is.
Yep, you got it right. Scorpio.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Michael, you know, this idea that they're going to face, you know, crimes against humanity. I mean, I hope that's true. But the problem I'm having is I just don't think that we have any part of this system right now that isn't captured by this cabal, by this criminal, you know, organization that's been, I think they've been very careful to capture every major arm of government worldwide before they pulled this scam off. And I think that we're going to have to look to outside the system for any kind of remedy to this. What are your thoughts on that, Michael?
Well, what you just said reminds me of something that Larry sent me yesterday. It was a short video of people gathering around the Rothschild castle in Switzerland. And the image that came to mind is I hope they brought their pitchforks and torches, like the old Frankenstein or Dracula movies where people from the town come and storm the castle. That's what needs to happen.
The I want to reinforce that the call line is open, 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Finally, 540-352-4452. And we have a caller named Susie Q. Welcome to the show. And where are you calling from? And what would you like to contribute?
Hello, I'm here in SoCal. And I love how you recognize my name when you see my number. I just like that. Good morning, gentlemen, and what a privilege it is, as always, to be listening to you guys. I am staggered by your brilliance every day. And I just want to share a story with you about someone this morning. I came to a customer's house and she was in tears telling me about her dog was sick. And then she tells me she's sick. And then the third story was, and I'm a teacher's assistant and a five-year-old in my class just died. And so, and I used to be really, I put a filter on. I would be careful about whether I asked someone whether they were vaccinated or not, because I didn't want to frighten someone who had taken the jab. You know, no one wants to hear that. Oh, or you're going to be dead. You know, I would just keep my thoughts to myself. I don't ask people anymore whether they've been vaccinated or not. I speak the truth. And if they've been vaccinated and they hear me say something about it before, oh, well. So this lady tells me, oh, my dog is sick and here's what the dog has. And then she says, and I'm sick. Well, what's wrong with you? This is a young, beautiful woman. I'm going to put her in her 40s probably. And she starts telling me about how she's been on medication. So that's her first problem, right? She's been on medication for 10 years, but she's been fine. She has a thyroid issue or something. And she says, all of a sudden, everything is wrong. Her numbers are off. They can't figure it out. So she's in tears because she's going to be going in for all this testing. And then after she told me about herself being sick, the subject of the vaccine hadn't come up yet. Then she tells me, she says, and then a five-year-old just died. A five-year-old? Yeah. I said, well, did this child take the shot? Are they requiring that? She says, you know, I don't know about that. And then without asking her whether she took it or not, I told her what my feelings were about the shot, which was that it was a depopulation shot and everything else. So she sat there and very quietly listened to me. And then she said, Suzanne, I'm going to tell you something. I said, what is that? She says, I took the shot. I said, okay, you need help. And she said, yes, I do. And I gave her some information from people that I know who are helping people. I said, stay away from the doctor for one thing, because they're killing people rather than helping people. And the whole time I'm talking, she is nodding her head. So she's breaking down in tears. I just reached out and grabbed her. And I said, how many shots have you taken, honey? Two. I took two Pfizer shots. And so we just prayed. I prayed out loud. She says, are you Christian? I didn't answer her. I just started praying. By the time I was finished praying, she was in tears. But when I told her about the shot, she said, I hear that a lot. I've heard that a lot. So I have a really hard time believing that these SOBs are going to be able to cover this up, because I've got a beautiful 40-year-old customer and a five-year-old. How many five-year-olds do you know drop dead? This does not happen. I've never personally known of any, you know, unless they are sick with cancer or something, five-year-olds just don't drop dead. This little child, apparently, it was very sudden. It was very sudden. So that's all. I just wanted to share that. I just have a hard time believing that they're going to be able to cover this up. I really do. And the more pressure they put, the more suspicion it raises. And everything you guys have said, the compartmentalization, all of it, it's all so valid. And have a good show. That's what I wanted to say.
Well, the criminal nature of the synagogue of Satan is that they are injecting parents with a bioweapon. The bioweapon then becomes shed, transmitted, off-gassed, whatever you want to call it. And so that is what killed that five-year-old poor child. The parents got vaccinated. When you share genetics like that, that kid is an easy target for the bioweapon process through the parents. There are no variants. The variants are all off-gassed from the bioweapon. This is all a lie. This is mass murder. This is satanic New World Order deviance to the highest order. This is the Great Reset. This is the transhuman agenda. Bow down and worship the singularity. I could go on.
Well, those are some great points. And, you know, I think the caller, Susie Q, made some great points, and I appreciate her calling in. And, you know, I do think they're going to have problems covering this up as we move forward. And what's really interesting to me is you monitor the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media news. I'm seeing an increasing disparity between what they say on television and reality as you see it, you know, and experience it with your own eyes, your own mind, and your own soul. And so I think that they're so out of touch, they're so drunk on power with being able to manipulate people so easily, which is certainly working on one level. But on the other hand, this disparity of realities is becoming so vast that I think there's going to come a point where it simply collapses, and even the most brainwashed normie is going to start to, you know, have a feeling deep inside their soul that something is wrong and that they've been lied to. And once we reach that point, there's no turning back. That they will never recapture the minds of the population again, because, you know, what's the old saying, once bitten, twice shy. So I'm heading to that point very rapidly.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're right, Scorpio. The question is, will it happen soon enough? All they need to do is drag out the pretense for about 6 months, and they've accomplished their goal, because so many are vaxxed, so many are going to die, that the devastating consequences of their campaign will be overwhelming, even though belatedly others will have discovered. We who do have another caller from the 203 area code. Caller, give us your first name and state and join the conversation.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Christine Korda from Revolution Radio, and I just wanted to call and thank you so much for a great show. As always, I'm so glad that you're feeling better, Dr. Fetzer. Got really nervous when I heard you had been ill. I wanted to know if you gentlemen could comment on the COVID camps. Now, I'm hearing about them, but then when I ask people, most people say, oh, it will never come to that, or they don't say anything at all. I don't want to be dragged away to a camp. I know a lot of people who don't want to be dragged away to a camp. What do you guys think of that? Do you think they're going to utilize
Christine,
those?
Thank you. Thank you for your concern. I'm glad to say that I'm about 95% back now. The COVID camps are going to be like a Roach Motel. You can check in, but you can't check out. They're going to use it for domestic terrorists too, which includes anyone who questions a 2020 election, anyone who challenges what happened on January 6th, and especially anyone who has serious doubts or reservations about the reality of the pandemic or the propriety of the vax. So you're raising a really good question. Remember, the Biden administration was telling us not that long ago they'd never introduce vaccine mandates. They've even told us most recently they were flying Haitians back to Haiti, but they're not doing it. They're letting them into the U.S. and flying them all over. We have the most grotesque anti-American, I think now really truly communist government that's out to destroy America. It's an unprecedented situation. Scorpio.
Well, Jim, first of all, you know, have some compassion for these Haitians. You know, they walked to the United States from Haiti, after all.
Which was a long time, too, it took them.
but let me, I just want to say about these camps, I don't know if that is true. It may be, it may not be. I'll believe it when I see it. We've heard about camps and this camp and that camp. I've been hearing this for 20 years. So, you know, we have to realize that our, quote, side is being fed disinformation as well.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever you want to call it. And, you know, if it does come down to so-called, you know, COVID camps, I think the one positive will be that there's going to be no pretense left that we live in a free society once things like that start happening.
You know, I live in Connecticut, and the little dictator in the government, in the governor, he's trying to extend his emergency powers again. Okay? People are up in arms. They don't even ask the citizens anymore. They just do it. And that's what's raising the hair on the back of my neck. I called your show a couple times. I do a show. I talk about the satanic ritual abuse that I went through as a child. I recognize the techniques, the mind control, the MK Ultra, all very, very real. We need to change the way that we think. We need to inform people that it's almost like they're on a drug, and they're literally, their neurotransmitters shift. They don't know how to think.
Right.
They're going to keep doing this until they're done, and they're never going to be done in one form or another. And it bothers me because it took me 40 years to get fixed from my childhood, and now I'm like, holy moly, this is going on now. So I think as Revolution Radio, you guys are awesome. I love you. You guys are saving so many lives, and you're being banned and censored. And Revolution Radio was awesome, and we need to keep speaking up. But if there is a camp, I don't know, do you guys have any advice as to what we can do? Because nobody's following the Constitution. They're not following the laws. They're not doing anything except what they're being driven to do.
Those are great points, Giuseppe.
Well, I think Scorpio made an excellent point that there's a lot of disinformation and fear porn. I would say if there's ever any instance of people being taken, you need to fight to the death, kill as many as you can before they kill you. And there's no other answer. Do not be taken to a camp. There's things like the Anarchist Cookbook that are easily found still on the internet. Learn how to make bombs. I mean, this, if they're going to come for us, we need to take them out. And that's just, there is we're not violent. Oh, we're not preaching violence. If they're coming to your house, kill as many as you can.
Michael, would you like to add?
Yeah, sort of reinforcing what, relative to COVID camps, reinforcing what Scorpio said a minute ago. I don't think they've reached that point of mass brainwashing yet where they can turn families and friends against each other to the extent of being happy that people who are not vaccinated or not following the program, I don't think they're going to be happy that people are being picked up and taken away, and that's going to be a tell in a big way. The strongest evidence I've seen for that going on is probably in Australia, and I can't vouch for the veracity of the photos that I've seen, but there are photos of camps like that being constructed in Australia, and Australia seems to be the tip of the tyranny, if you want to say. But here, I know a lot of people who are not vaccinated, and I know a lot of people who are, and they hang out together, and they're not to the point of resenting each other for that at this point. So I think they've got a lot more brainwashing to do before they get to the point of arresting people and taking them to camps.
We have the mechanic here too, by the way. Mechanic, join the conversation.
Well, thanks for having me, Doc. I appreciate that. Giuseppe, Dave, good to hear from you again. Easy, that's that pup in the background. Listen, I think the only answer here is more pain. More pain, right? We get these people right here that have been complicit for years and years and years, decade on end. They never pass the knowledge because they never receive the knowledge. So their children don't get the education. Their children don't understand the world they're living in. The only thing that forces the hand of the ignorant is pain. It's going to be more pain, more loss, more suffering, more closures, more mandates, more edicts. And then these camps, if the CDC gets their way, they open up these camps. And, Hillary, was it Hillary that named it or Obama that named them re-education camps? one of those two.
Right.
You're not getting an education. You're not getting education when you go here, right. And going in and not coming out are the facts. This is a depopulation agenda. We all need to come to terms with this.
The phrase Hillary used was even more silly than that. It wasn't re-education camps. It was something like fun camps, but it wasn't
fun,
that.
Fun camps? Oh, I have fun camps. That's great.
Something like that. It was
I just don't look. We're making headway here, and we're trying to empower teachers. We're trying to empower the parents. We're looking at real estate to build our own co-ops. We're just going to give people alternatives, and that's what we're doing. We've created a group up here, and it's growing. The county neighboring, they've got 300 plus and growing daily. They're creating their own group and their own movements down there. And the school board, I've showed up to a few school board meetings. I've said my piece to these guys, but you know, they make statements like, our hands are tied and we have to do what the state tells us. And, you know, the ignorant here is that they're a sovereign agency within a county and they can tell the state to pound sand, but they're on the hook for the fees. They're on the hook for the funds behind the mandates. If the public knew and understood how the mandates work, every single mandate is backed by funding. If they fail to enforce the mandates, they lose the funding. And that's where these people get the most pain, losing funding. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, mechanic. You know, and this phrase, my hands are tied, our hands are tied. This is exactly the way they enact the mind control. I think the first step is simply to refuse to participate in this kind of thinking. And yes, they will pull the funding. That's exactly right. It's time to think completely outside the box. You know, you don't have to have a bunch of money if parents are willing to participate in the schooling of their own children. That we need to completely lose this idea that you need to send your kids off to a government school. This system is beyond repair. And you know, like I said earlier, they want the children. That's the most important aspect of this whole program.
United non-compliance. United non-compliance. A systematic uniting of the people with non-compliance. And we already know what the absolute without a choice is. We don't want to go there. We want to try to avoid that last approach from us against the tyranny. But that united non-compliance is that last step.
Mechanic, I want you to stick around, but I got another caller from the 360 area code. Caller 360, join first name and state.
Brian in Washington.
Yeah, go ahead. Speak up.
As to the camps, Natural News of questionable background put up a Washington State hiring strike team coordinators for quarantine camp expansions. I can drive to Centralia in 45 minutes. That's where this Washington State camp is. And if they don't take me out because I run out of explosives and armament in blowing them up and they take me alive, then I'll probably be headed that way because it's getting kind of lonely out here. Everybody's getting indoctrinated with this. So, but moving on, the mechanic just mentioned co-op, and your first hour guest, she's wanting a co-op of doctors, and this is the solution. So if you've ever heard of a CSA, they're really popular way to get food. You lay $500 out to your local farm, and you join a community sustainable agriculture thing. The acronym CSA. So, you know, meanwhile, what is going on in the last couple days is over there at the United Nations, the title of the YouTube is President Moon-J-In and BTS at the Sustainable Development Goals Moment, United Nations. In the first 5 minutes, I'm going to read what those people that have never studied communitarianism, not saying ever heard the word, these red flags in 5 minutes, just a couple quotes. If the problems be interconnected, then so be the solutions. When humanity transcends national boundaries to work together, that of itself would be the first step towards surmounting a crisis. Now, they had mentioned all of the crises, the hurricanes, the volcanoes, the climate, the COVID, you know, we could go on and on. So these are the crises of which this Korean guy is saying. I'm just pulling a few quotes. As humanity strides towards an inclusive future, we are held back by the COVID. We need to build back better and stronger if actions that we take together are interconnected. We will, our commitment to inclusion and mutual prosperity, equitable, international community, strengthening international health cooperation. We must collaborate beyond our borders. Developed and developing countries alike must move forward in tandem to this, to end this, and bring about a global community. It's biblical, one world government. How are they going to do it? Through communism? Sorry, Jim. I think you're needing a little brushing up. So that's my contribution for the days. I hope it was on point. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Check out my blog. Check out my blog, and you'll see how they're doing it. Not how they want to do it, but how they're aggressively going about doing it. My blog, jamesfetzer.org. We have another caller from the 303 area code. 303, give us your first name and state and join the conversation.
Hey, guys, it's Sal. This has been one of the best shows ever. That first hour was jam-packed, awesome with Dr. Merritt. It was, and I have listened to interviews with her from, like five or six people, and they've all been wonderful. But you guys asked the questions and then let her speak and didn't interrupt her like a lot of other interviewers do because, like, they want to feel more important. But you guys shut up and let them speak and let them say what they have to say. It was one of the best hours of radio I've ever heard in my entire life. And this hour has been fantastic, too. I really appreciate it, guys. Just wanted to step in, give the shout-out, and step out because I know you're running out of time. It's been
great. That's terrific, Sal.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate being appreciated. Meanwhile, 704 area code is here. Give us your first name and state and join the conversation.
Hi, Jim and company. This is Chip Wad from North Carolina. And I have a question. You hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
The question I wanted to get to Dr. Merritt. Next time, please get her for 2 hours. But she mentioned Drs. Callan and Kaufman. And they said something that shocked me the other day. They were talking about the animal studies that have been done with the mRNA back in, 2000, 2005. And they said that there was no die-off of those animals, no cytokine storm, that they in fact were euthanized and then autopsied. And can anybody comment on that? Thank you. I'll take the answer off the air.
It sounds like bullshit to me. I think all the animals died, which was a positive result. If they did autopsies, they would have found blood clots and a whole lot of neurological damage from the vax. But they didn't want to admit it, so they pretended they leapfrogged the animal studies, which is another violation of the Nuremberg Code. Giuseppe.
Well, Michael can jump in as well. He follows Cowan and Kaufman closely. But what I would suggest is there's been hundreds, if not thousands, of those tests, so both could be true, Jim. But I do know of research that I've done where absolutely all the animals in the test study did die horribly from the experimental injection of the synthetic mRNA. And but they may be looking at other studies where they did want to see what was going on in the animal before it completely died. So I would say both are true.
Both are true.
I would agree with what Giuseppe just said. I recall... Cowan does a question and answer session every week, and I think in one of those question and answer sessions he specifically took up the question of this famous ferret study where all the ferrets died. And I think that, and he went, I mean, he had the study right there that he was reading from, so he went right down it. And there's more than one that have happened. Like, there are studies done with cats with similar mRNA vaccines as well. But in this particular one, you know, occasionally it becomes, in the circles that we frequent and talk to, it becomes a thing and one person repeats it, next person repeats it, and everybody assumes that it's true. But he was pointing out what actually happened in that ferret study, and it wasn't simply that all the ferrets died. So I think that's what the caller was referring to.
Well, what was it, Michael? Do you recall what happened to the ferrets?
No, I'm sorry. I don't remember the details, but I was surprised to hear that as well, because I'd heard that from, you know, high level people like Sherry Tenpenny and others in her circle. But like I say, I wouldn't be at all surprised if it wasn't a case of both of those things happening, like Giuseppe said.
Michael, we're down to just a final few minutes. How about your final thoughts? And then I'll turn to Scorpio and Giuseppe. Yours, Michael.
Okay. I would like to read a short statement by, again, Mike Adams. If this really had been a viral pandemic, we should have seen the same disease pattern. And Dr. Merritt mentioned this earlier, that we saw in New York City, we should have seen that same pattern in the other cities like Chicago, Miami, Denver, Seattle, Los Angeles, but we did not see that. That's why this has been so difficult for us all to sort out. Once you understand all of this, you realize that they went to such incredible lengths to stage this pandemic, to fake many elements of it, even for Cuomo to kill people with ventilators to spike up the numbers. So this is the ultimate false flag. This is the largest staged theatrical event in human history. Indeed, the entire world is the stage.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Scorpio, because in honor of your return, you get the final word. We have less than a minute. Your thoughts?
Well, I think we should be very careful believing any study that they're putting out there for the public to see. I believe this vaccine was developed years ago. And we need to realize, too, that there's a whole black world of science development that I believe this so-called vaccine came from. They know what they're doing. I think the effects are going to be slow and long term. We're not going to see bodies piling up in the streets over the next year or two. It's going to be a slow process. And we need to question everything. I think that's the takeaway here today.
Well, Giuseppe, let me congratulate you on arranging for Lee Merritt to appear here today. I agree with Sal. This has been the single first hour, the best I've ever heard about all of this. I want to thank you all and Mitchell, too, for coordinating the event once again. We're glad to have you join us. We'll be back next week.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show.
I gotta go, you guys. It was great. A really good show.
Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the perfect triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict. But